Well, I'm excited about preaching this morning, and I will tell you that I've really, like, put my heart into this message, because the more I worked on this message, the more I realized this message is for me. And then when I started to begin to realize that, then it takes on an even greater interest. And so I'm excited about giving it to you and sharing it. If you could, if one word came to your mind, you know, after singing and worshiping this morning, what comes to your mind? One word. What did we sing about this morning? Marvelous? Love? Yeah. Love. That's what we're going to talk about today, Mary. We're going to talk about love. Now, well, let's just go there. First of all, let me go to the first slide so that you have somewhat of an idea where we're going. We're going to look at 5 points. The first one is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I know that pastor has been preaching about loving your neighbor as thyself, or at least I believe he has, and he has. And so I was not here for any of them. I have no idea if I'm copying him or what. But number two, on these two commandments, love God and love man, hang all the law and the prophets. Number three, loving God, loving man is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Remember, these are the points that we're going to cover. Number four, who is my neighbor? And the last one, what does loving my neighbor as myself look like? So those are the five we're going to look at, and I have put a lot of these points on PowerPoint because I like to show people what we're talking about. So the first one that we look at, love thy neighbor as thyself. You notice that, well, before we even go there, why don't you turn to Romans 13? We're going to look at a couple scripture, and then we're going to look at a couple more along the way. But while you're turning to Romans chapter 13, verse 9, I want to just read some previous statements. The phrase or the statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, appears 8 times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. 8 times does that phrase appear. You're turning to Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 9 and following. But while you're there, let me read a couple of them. First one being Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Listen, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he ends with, I am the Lord. This is me talking. The Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, says the Lord. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now go to Romans chapter 13, verse 9. We skipped through three other times, which we'll look at later. But in Romans chapter 13, verse 9, it says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, not steal, not bear false witness, not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 5, turn there. Galatians chapter 5, and when you get there, we're going to read one verse, because here we see it happening again in chapter 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. I want us to see this. Man, I tell you, I didn't realize how important this was until I started reading it and realizing that it is very important in the Christian's life. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 14. I love what it says here. And it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word or in one statement. It's this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Andy, do you struggle with loving your neighbor always?
Yes, everybody does.
We do, don't we? We're going to talk more about that, but let's go to one more, James chapter 2. James is further back in your Bible, chapter 2, and here we see it the eighth time. Chapter 2, James 2, verse number 8, it says this. I'll wait until you get there. It's that same statement that we've read throughout until now, and it says, James chapter 2, verse number 8, and you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now, church, is it important that we love our neighbor? Who is it important to? God. God himself says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says it over and over and over again. Now, the first one that I want to look at is where it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice on the screen, it is a command, not a suggestion. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Or really, what I should have done is add the words, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the first time that I saw thou shalt was in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, where it says, believe, or what does it say? Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And I will always remember how the teacher said, I want you to look at that word shalt. That is a very, very strong word. When God uses the word shalt, he means you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It's not thou mightest be saved. It's not if you keep trying, you will be saved. It says you will be saved. You call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And that's the same word that he uses right here. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Eight times is it repeated in the scripture. It is one of the most repeated commands in all of scriptures. Why? And that's the question I ask myself is, why was it repeated so many times? Why was it so important that God reminded us over and over and over throughout the New Testament and even in the Old Testament? And I've come to the conclusion that it is because all of us struggle with it. It is an area in our life. It is an area in the lives of a Christian that we probably struggle with more than anything else in life. We struggle with it in our family, in our marriages, in the church, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, everywhere we go. We struggle with thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself because people hurt us, don't they? And we begin to put up guards and walls and we'll never let those people hurt me again. And all of a sudden you come to reality and you realize I'm breaking the commandment that God gave us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Just last night I got a text from an Amish man. More and more Amish people are getting phones. Some are still hiding them. Most of them are. But it doesn't even stay with the younger generation. It's now the older generation. And so they've learned to text. I got some old Amish men from other parts of the country that text all the time. Last night, I got this letter about this long, text message this long. Do you guys ever text those long text messages? I'm like, man, you should have wrote the letter, put a stamp on it, and sent it to me. That's not a text. Well, that's what it was. It was a long text. And this is what it said. So-and-so in Pennsylvania is struggling in their love for each other. It's a husband and a wife. And we're letting everybody know that we're all going to take this next Thursday and we're going to pray and fast all day long for this couple. They're in their last years of life and they're struggling in their love for each other. And I thought about this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't come naturally You have to work on it and work on it. You have to check yourself and check yourself. What's my motive for doing this? Am I doing it out of love for my neighbor? Sometimes it's so hard. I'm telling you, I don't have to go into details, but if you're 5 years old, somebody's hurt you. If you're 30 years old, a lot of people have hurt you. If you're 70 years old, many, many multitudes of people have stepped on your toes and they've hurt you. And man, if you don't check yourself, you don't work on it, you will begin to hold grudges against this person, that person, this person. I'll put my wall up. They'll never get close to me again. And you know what? Another person comes along. You don't even know them. And you know what? Immediately your relationship affects that person because you've got 10 grudges against 10 other people. And this person hasn't even become part of your life. And it's already affecting them in a negative way. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Drop your guard. Number three. Here's one. Eric, this I thought about you. You deal with this. If I don't love myself, can I love others? Can I? Eric, can I love others if I don't love myself? Mm-mm. If love could be measured between 1 and 10, and my love measures a 2, I can't give out any more love than a 2. I can't. That's why the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. If I don't love myself, I can't love other people. And I will tell you guys, I've struggled with that many, many times. Loving myself. It's probably the thing that I struggle with the most. And I realize at times when I'm struggling with it the most is when I have the hardest time loving my neighbor as myself. Or loving my neighbor the way I need to. Can I tell you that love does not begin with neighbors? Love does not begin with Joe. Love begins with God. Real love comes first from God. And let me read the scripture. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 7 and 8, it says this, Beloved, now he's writing to Christians and he's saying, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Or let me read it this way. Love is from God. It's not the kind of love that the world has for each other. That's not the love I'm talking about. That's puffed up. That's pride. That's pounding myself on the chest. That's trying to stand out and be somebody. The love that I'm talking about is from God. It's unconditional love. It's the kind of love you lay your life down and you go to the cross. Because you love your neighbor so much. And it's so important to you. That's the kind of love that I have. Where does it come from? It comes from God. And if I don't know God, if I'm not connected to God, if I'm not connected to the source, it's impossible for me to be the kind of love person I need to be. And for you to be that kind of person. Loving others is dependent upon us knowing God. The level of love and value I place on self and others goes back to how well I've accepted God's love. And listen to this one. If I have a hard time receiving God's love, I will have a hard time loving who I am. And if I have a hard time loving who I am, I will have a hard time loving my neighbor. It all goes back to God again and again and again. Check yourself. How do I love my neighbor? If I don't love my neighbor, then I must not love myself. If I don't love myself, then I don't love God. It goes back to God. I have to figure out what changed in my life with God. What's my relationship? Where did it change? Where did I mess up? And once I get that straightened out, once I get that squared away, then I will begin to love myself because I'll understand who I am in God. And once I begin to love myself, then I will love my neighbor. And you know what? When you love your neighbor, everybody knows. I was thinking this morning, if I could choose a person in my life that I see as one who loves everybody. And I have a lot of people like that. A lot of people love everybody. But we all struggle with it. But there's one person in my life that I said, you know, that person happens to be a woman, that person loves everybody. And it's Debbie. It's Debbie. Strong. I don't know what it is about that girl. But that girl loves everybody. You know why she has a room full of women sitting around her? Because women have learned that Debbie accepts everybody. She reaches out in love. She doesn't hold any grudges. I feel that love when I'm in the same room with her. And I receive it. I like it. In my community out here, Amish community, there was... I don't know how many families lived in my Amish community growing up, but there were 6 districts, probably more like 7 or 8. Multiply that times 25, and that gives you an idea how many. In 2000, there was some problems in the community, and a family moved out, and then another one, then another one, and all of a sudden, 100 families had moved out of the Ashland community out here. People couldn't figure out what was happening, and... So they finally went outside of their community. They brought in Amish men from other communities, and they all gathered together on this farm. And when everybody had found their place and they were sitting there, the wise men got up and said, "Now tell us, what is the problem?" And the people, one person got up and he says, "Well, the problem, the reason so many people are moving out is because this community refuses to accept Hunter's Orange. It was the one thing that we could do as in growing up was to go deer hunting. And all of a sudden, the law required that there be so many inches of orange on your body. Or if you got caught by the game warden and you didn't have that much orange on you, you were fined. In some cases, the game warden say, you and you and you and you meet me on Saturday over at this place. And then he'd go a mile up the road and he'd say, you and you, all you hunters, meet me on Saturday, meet me on Saturday. And that Saturday, about 100 people would show up and he'd hand each one a ticket and say, this is your fine because you've not worn enough Hunter's Orange. And the church kept saying, but we're not going to give up. We're going to stand our ground. You can't wear Hunter's Orange because it's a worldly color. It's a bright color. And so the guy got up and he's just angry. He's like, why can't we just wear Hunter's Orange? Now, most of us will sit here and say, man, that's kind of a weird rule. Hunter's Orange, orange is a color, and all colors are of God, and we'll try to justify every reason why that was kind of a dumb rule. But we'll do the same thing. We'll do the exact same thing. The problem, though, is, and the wise men from the other communities got up and they said, the problem is not Hunter's Orange. Somewhere along the line, you quit loving your neighbor. And that's the problem. You quit loving. Now, get back to love, and all these other things will be straightened out. That is the case in so many of our time, so often. Nevertheless, John wrote in Revelation, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Number 2. So, church, as I'm looking at this, if you go to Matthew chapter 22, go there. Remember I told you we looked at five places where the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. We missed 3, but we're going to look at those 3 now. Matthew chapter, we're going to look at 1 in Matthew, 1 in Mark, 1 in Luke. Matthew 22, and we'll start at verse 35. It says here, Matthew 22, verse 35 through 36, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Jesus a question. He was tempting him. And he said to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You know what he was asking? Hey, tell me. Which is the greatest commandment of all the commandments in the entire Old Testament? If you were to choose one, which one would it be? That's what he was asking. Verse number 37 says, Jesus said unto the lawyer, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then he says, and let me add the second one. And this is, and then he says, and this is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, the second one, the one that follows right after that is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's a new one. We hadn't looked at that one. So this is number six, okay? We've read six times now where thou shalt love the Lord, and then thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says in verse 40, can you just look down at verse 40? Jesus goes on and he says, on these two commandments, loving the Lord your God and loving fellow man, hang all the law and the prophets. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is going to show us. He's going to measure love. And the way to measure it is to help this lawyer understand something that he was well aware of, and that was the law. He knew the law. He knew the prophets. He was a lawyer. He was in ministry. He was well aware of the law and the prophets. And Jesus said, on this, on these two commandments hang all the law and all of the prophets. It simply means that if we were to read it today, it would mean on these two commandments hang all the scriptures. And I thought about it. God is trying to paint a picture for us. He's wanting us to understand what he's saying here. So he says the word hang. On loving thy neighbor, loving God, loving man, hang all the law and the prophets. And as I thought about it, I said, okay, so let's take the scriptures and put two pegs in there and love God and add love God and love man to that, because anything written in the scriptures somehow filters through those things right there. Love God, love man, everything. Everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22, every word, every sentence, everything filters through somehow. Love God, love man. All of the law, all of the prophets, everything is somehow connected with those two commandments. For example, church, listen. Because I love man, if I love my neighbor as myself, I will tell the truth, right? If you love your neighbor, you're going to tell them the truth. It's important. Because if I don't tell them the truth, it will hurt them. Right, Leonard? Has anybody ever lied to you, Leonard? How did it make you feel? Yeah. First, I don't trust them, and then I kind of, could they do that to me? And you start realizing, I'm not loving my neighbor. Okay, so, for example, because I love the Lord, I will not use his name in vain. Is that right? Because I love mankind, I will give to the poor, I will help the weak, and I will visit the sick. Because of my love for one true God, I will not have any other gods. You see where it's going? Everything hangs on love God, love man. Because I love mankind, I will not commit adultery. That would be painful to somebody. Because I love mankind, I will not steal or cheat. You want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We got to read a couple verses in the love chapter, right? Go to chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a little boy going to school, probably about the fifth grade, I was asked to memorize this entire scripture in German. I didn't think there was any way I could do it, but I did. I don't remember one word now that I'm older, but nonetheless, it has always been a book in the Bible or a chapter in the Bible that has been powerful to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not what? Love? Charity? I'm become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all the mysteries of the world, and I have all the knowledge of the world, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains, and I don't love, I am what? Nothing. How important is love? Very important. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, it profits me, say it with me, church, nothing. I can give my own body at the stake and burn it for the glory of God. But if I do it without love, it means nothing. See, what he's trying to do is help us understand. And it's the only way we can understand the importance of love if he gives us a picture to compare it with. And he has done that. He's given us a picture. He says, compare it. Adam Clark commentary says, true religion begins and ends in love God and love man. Now let's keep going real quick here. The next one is, loving God and loving man is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. We go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse number 33. Actually, we're going to go to 32. Mark 12. We're not going to read the entire passage here because we've read it before. It's where Jesus says, love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these two, Jesus said. No, I'm sorry. I think the scribe said that. The scribe said, okay, church, this is that one time when the scribe came and he asked a question and Jesus responded with a question. That's when the scribe himself said, you know, you're supposed to love God with all your heart and then love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at verse number 32. Well, master, the scribe has said the truth. Thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all the soul, with all your strength, and to love as neighbor as himself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And again, church, I had a ball studying this. I was like, what in the world does he mean? All the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, you have to understand that, first of all, what he's trying to say is loving God, look at your screen, and loving man is more valuable than all the different types of sacrifices and burnt offerings. And this man, this scribe, he was a scribe. He wrote. That's what scribes did. They wrote. And so this guy, he understood. And because he had been wrapped up in offerings and sacrifices his entire life. His dad was wrapped up in them. His grandpa was wrapped up in them. And generation after generation, they've been wrapped up in sacrifices and offerings all their life. He understood. Today it might read, listen, we're not where the scribe is at. We're now in 2015. Today it might read, Christian, fellow soldier, loving God and loving man is more than going to church every Sunday of your life. It is more important than getting up and raising your arms toward God and worshiping him. Love is more important than that. It's more important than putting 90% of your gain in the offering plate. It's more important than getting up and teaching the Word of God or preaching the Word of God. It's more important than going out and visiting the sick and feeding the poor. It's more important than sharing the gospel with a lost person. It's more important than any religion that we can come up with. It is all based on loving God, loving man is more important than reading the scriptures and praying daily. It's more important than providing for your family. If you do all those things, if you go tell people about Jesus, but you have a problem with loving people, go back and find out who you're not loving and then start loving. If you get up and worship God and give your tithes and all of that and you don't have love for your fellow man, or your life isn't right with God, where you can say, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might. If you can't say that, keep your offering. You're doing it with the wrong motive. God doesn't need anything from you, and He doesn't need anything from me. The one thing He desires is love with all of your heart, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. In his book, Kerry Shook, 1 month before he passed away and went into eternity, he wrote these words: when all is said and done, relationships are all that matter. And I will never forget Andy Giese, who some of you guys know. Andy Giese was a partner of Matt Ministry for a number of years. We worked together just last January, just about this time. He and I got on airplanes and flew to Kansas and did a ministry together. You know what? Today, Andy Giese has lost his family. His marriage went up in smoke. His daughter won't see him. And then his whole ministry, he lost his ministry, has nothing today. He's crawled into a hole. You know what he told me? The one thing I learned from Andy Giese in all of the time that I was with Andy Giese, all the years, and the times that I literally broke down and wept because of things that happened. You know what? The one thing he told me is that there are two ways you can do ministry. There's one way: you have a need. And the only way is to find relief for that need is to do ministry and fill that vacuum up. Constantly pouring that love, or, you know, filling that hole up. That which is the wrong reason to have a ministry. It's the wrong reason. It's when he stepped aside from his family and his wife, and he put them on the back burner, and he tried to fill that void with something other than love. It wasn't ministry. It was a self-need. And it kept him going. It made him buy a ticket and fly to Kansas and preach to people in order to fill that. You know, the correct way to do ministry, and this is what Andy told me, is when you are so full of love from God that it bubbles over and it bubbles out and it bubbles into other people's lives. And people are ministered by the love. I'm thinking of the lava that is flowing out of what do you call those things? Volcanoes. That lava that just keeps flowing and flowing, and it goes down the mountain and out. That kind of love is real ministry. I was challenged by that. I looked into my own heart and I said, Joe, why do you do ministry? Why do you do ministry? Why do you do what you do? Are you trying to fill that hole? And you have pushed others out of the way, and you've said, man, I will do what I have to fill that void. Or are you just allowing the love of God to flow from your bones and your blood vessels? Now, let's go to the next one. Who is my neighbor? Do you have time to just quickly go to Luke chapter 10? Here again, we see this. In this case, Luke chapter 10. And kind of reads same through verse 25 down through verse 28. Here the lawyer stood up. I think really what's happening here is Luke was giving his account of the lawyer that stood up and he tempted Jesus. And he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 29. after Jesus had told him to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength and thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 29, but he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The answer to that is 7 billion people. 7 billion people. Everyone's our neighbor. Everyone in the world. Number two, my neighbor has many faces. Even someone who doesn't like me. Don't turn to Matthew 5. I'll read it here. Matthew 5, 43 and 44 says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what came to my mind, church? I wonder if we fought ISIS with that in mind. Or are they just so over the top, love ain't going to reach them? What do you think, Zane? You think if we, you know, honestly, these are angry people, right? Only angry people would do what ISIS does. But what if we approach them the way this scripture says? Could we win a war that no other military war could possibly fight and win? Number two, my neighbor has many faces, someone who does not like me and someone I don't owe anything to. And I thought about Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God proved his love. He commended his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus went to the cross and died for me. And then number five, this is the last one. What does loving my neighbor as myself look like? Can I just put some practical things down? Look at the screen once. What does it look like? If I love my neighbor as myself, what does it look like? Well, I will stop justifying my sinful lifestyle. You know why I put that down? Because people are watching all the time. If you're living or leading a wicked lifestyle, it will keep people from coming to the truth. It will hurt people in your life. If a spouse goes out and commits adultery, it will hurt the other spouse. It will hurt family members. If I love my neighbor, I will stop bad and unhealthy habits. I've been good at justifying myself over that one. If I love my neighbor, I will stop being late for every meeting. Some of you guys need to say, amen. That's right. How does that hurt other people? Thank you, Andy. Yeah. Now we've all been late, right? We're all going to be late again, right? I'm talking to the ones that are late every time. Okay, and they justify it. Okay, stealing work time from the company. I will stop doing that because I love my neighbor. I will stop telling little white lies. Recently, I had to sit down with somebody. I said, you know, you're great. You're awesome. I'm glad you're in my life. But you've showed me something about yourself that has caused me to lose trust. You've said little white lies. Not big, bold lies. Actually, I said, I don't think you do it on purpose. I think you're just, you know, you're just so, your personality. It's just like, you say it before you think. But you've given me reason to doubt you. Little white lies. I don't like those. What does loving my neighbor as myself look like? Well, if I love my neighbor, I will start leading in the home, particularly if you're a man. I will start living up to my commitments. When I bought my car over at Graham Chevy, sorry, Gorton, you weren't working there, but I went there anyways. The salesman looked at me and he's like, well, he asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm in ministry. He goes, oh my, I don't like selling cars to people in ministry. I said, why? He said, you guys are all liars. He said, the preachers are the worst liars of anybody that I've ever helped. They tell you one thing and they don't do it. They say they'll call and they won't. And she said, I just don't like dealing with people in ministry. If I love my neighbor, I will start living up to my commitment. If I say I'll do something, I'll do it, right? Because it hurts somebody. If I love my neighbor, I will start giving money to God's business and I will forsake all and follow Christ. If I love my neighbor, I will look for ways to serve others. If I love my neighbor, I will go and preach the gospel, right? I don't want anybody to go to hell. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's in Matthew. In Mark, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says in John 20, as the Father has sent me, even so I sent you. A neighbor that loves another neighbor will be busy about God's work and they will take those scriptures to heart. If I love my neighbor, I will make disciples. Can I just read these? Got the scriptures right on the screen so we all can see it. If I love my neighbor, I will take the time to look around and find out how I can mentor and disciple somebody in the church or in my community or at work or wherever. And in Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, ladies, I have one coming for you. It's in Titus. But I want to say a few words about this. I think we have messed up right here, church. We are not discipling. We're not mentoring. We're not meeting with younger people. Parenting never stops. Even if I'm 70 years old and my children are growing up and my grandchildren are growing up, parenting never stops. I'm always in the parenting business. Even in my home church, I'll look around and I'll see a young person, a young man or a young woman, and I'll say, somehow I will pour my life into his life. Thank you, Eric, for what you do into Jonathan. You know, Eric, there was a time, understand this better now than ever, but at about the age of age 17, my parenting skills became kind of messed up and it didn't flow so well anymore. And Jonathan went to another person. He went to you and you picked up where we left off. And I trust you 110%. 110%. I wish this auditorium was full of Erics. Full of women who have a desire to reach out and pick up. Even if you have children, you kind of wish somebody would come along and grab your child and take them to the next level that you can't do as a parent. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Ladies, I told you, we're gonna show one for you. And this is for you. This is the end now, okay? Titus chapter 2, verse 35. The aged, let's stand because this is the end. This is an important verse. This is a command. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at this. The aged women, that's talking to the mature ladies of the church, the older ladies of the church. Oh, is this ever needed in our day? That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Now, you can have a little bit, but not much. Teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women. You know what? You know, oh, I just want to come out there and say, can you just like let that be driven into you like a stake in the ground? I just want to come out there and say, all these young ladies that are going to turn about 18, 19, and then they're going to fly off to college and they will never come back. What if you did what they said there, that you may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that, look how important it is, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's my message for us today. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with everything in you. Love Him. It's the greatest of all commandments. The second one follows right after that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're struggling with loving yourself, figure out where you and God went wrong so you can start to love yourself, so you can begin to love your neighbor. Lord Jesus, oh man, do we feel challenged by your word this morning. And do we ever desire to be that person? Man, if we could just reach the level that you require. But we know where we can. Your grace and your mercy will step in and fill the rest. Now, Lord, I was thinking, as important as this is, there'll be some of us here today that have struggled with grudges. We've struggled with loving our neighbor. We've even struggled with loving ourselves. The idea of loving God has become a kind of twisted. And it doesn't make sense even between you and me, God. I've struggled. There's some of us here today that have struggled with this idea of love. And I pray now, Lord, that your will would be done. Move us according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his home. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused and torn. And hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world. Take your candle.